Find your place in Psalm 121. It'll take me just a little while to get there. Psalm 121, and wait on me there, okay? I'm giving you part two to the message that I began this morning on imitating God as a father. Again, I emphasize to you this series that the Lord has laid on my heart, taking a break from preaching through the books and so on, and then just give you a shot in the arm series here about imitating God. Every child of God should have a desire to be like God, to be like Him. And I submit to you that in specific areas, we ought to desire to be like Him generally, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, you get that. That's the Wednesday night sermon. And you apply that to every area of your life. As a parent, you need to be a merciful parent, long-suffering parent. The message on Wednesday night is foundational. You need to go back and listen to it if you've not already done so. And I remind you that not only generally speaking should we desire to be like God, but specifically we should desire to be like God. I, as a father, don't need to have to find out what kind of a daddy I need to be. I don't have to try to figure it out on my own. It's found in the pages of God's Word. I am to be a father like my Heavenly Father is to me. I'm to imitate God as a father. I'm to imitate God as a parent. So if you have children tonight, this is specifically for you, but again, I remind you that even if you have no children, don't bypass what we're preaching on, because all we're doing in this series is we're putting our great God under the microscope and studying Him as a father, studying Him as a husband, studying Him as a friend, studying Him as a leader, so on and so forth. And what we can do, if we're in His family, if we are saved by the grace of God, we can rejoice in the great God that we serve. And on top of that, we need to imitate who He is and what He does. So let's pray, and I'm giving you part two to the message I began this morning. I'll go back and tap the first 5 points on the head, and we'll proceed with the last 4 points. Father, we love You tonight. May the will of God be done, I pray. Speak to our hearts clearly. And Lord, help us to have a desire, a burning desire in our hearts to be truly an imitator of God. Help us to be like You as much as we possibly can. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, it was stated in a book, being a parent becomes an opportunity to demonstrate who God is and what God is like. Having children is a high calling, a sacred trust, a ministry of evangelizing and discipling. Children are a heritage and a gift from God, Psalm 127, 3 and 5, and parents have an awesome responsibility to demonstrate the relationship humans can have with God. How a parent relates to a child has a direct bearing on how that child may relate to God. It's a blessing for a married couple, some of this is repeat now, to have children. Both mothers and fathers have a tremendous responsibility. And I remind the fathers again of what I said this morning concerning the father's role. That same book made this statement: the father models God, models who God is like, and his children's perception of God is often based on their view of their own father. Children who have cold, passive, and absent fathers often believe God is cold, distant, and indifferent. On the contrary, children whose fathers are warm, loving, accepting, and accessible usually have a healthy concept of God. The fact is, God's children should strive to be the best parent that they possibly can be. And the way to do this is to imitate God as a parent. Therefore, as we look at God as a father in the Word of God and what kind of a daddy He is to His children, if you're one of His children, you ought to rejoice in these truths, that this is the kind of a daddy He is to you. This is the kind of a father He is to you. And then if you are blessed with children, then you need to strive to be a mom or dad like He is to you. Number one, we looked at this morning. I'll just tap it on the head and get to point number six. Number one, we saw this morning that God welcomes His children anytime. And the point we preach there is that He's accessible to them. He's available to them. He never makes His children feel like He's too busy for us. Day, night, morning, noon, I mean, any time of the day you can go to God, and God's sitting there with welcoming arms for his children. By the way, have you ever gotten up at night, in the middle of the night, and you can't sleep and you start talking to God? Is he there for you? Absolutely. And parents should be there for their children. They should welcome their children. Number two, he loves all of his children the same. He's not partial in his love. Every child of God knows that God loves them. And God only loves them, he loves them with the same love that he loves all of his other children. Makes no difference what their skin color is, makes no difference what their nationality is, what their culture is, makes no difference how much money they have or don't have, what kind of car they drive, they don't drive. If you are a child of God, he loves you as much as any other of his children. And I'm glad we all know that tonight. Number three, we preach that not only he loves his children, but number three, he disciplines his children. He doesn't beat them. He chastens them. He loves them. He corrects them. There are parents today who try to beat their children, and that is not right. But the rod still works, and it's still Bible as long as it's used in a proportional manner and as long as it's used in a loving manner with a purpose to it, trying to make them more like Christ. God disciplines his children. You cannot get by with rebellion with God. Number four, we saw that he forgives his children, that when we as his children disobey him and we come to him and ask him to forgive us, the Bible says he forgives us and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He never brings up our wrong anymore. You know, there are parents today who bring up to their children what they did. And may I say that when you do that, you are damaging your children. Because God never brings up confessed sin. It never happens. By the way, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that when you confess your sin to God, that it never comes back up from God again? Never. Which means if you've confessed it and you're still dealing with it, then the devil's having a heyday in your mind. But it's not God. He's not a father like that. He forgives his children. Then we ended with this morning. He remembers his children are flesh. And we brought out there that children make mistakes. We as human beings are not perfect. We will fall every now and then. And parents need to understand the difference between an honest mistake and willful rebellion. Willful rebellion needs to be chastened. But honest mistakes do not need to be chastened. We need to overlook the mistakes because they're not perfect. By the way, neither are we. Now we pick up with point number six tonight about what kind of a father he is and that we ought to imitate him as a father, as a parent. Number six, I like this. This spoke to my heart. This challenged my heart. Number six, he claims and commends his children. Let me say this again. He claims his children and he commends them. Let me give you powerful verse talking about God the Heavenly Father with his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, Matthew 3:17. This is after the Lord was baptized, just to set an example for us and all of this. Here's what it says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, this is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is when the Lord just kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit and let himself shine a little bit with the three disciples that were up on that hill. And the Bible says in Matthew 17, 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The point here is the Heavenly Father was not ashamed. Now get this now. He was not ashamed to claim his own Son. And he was not ashamed to let his own Son know that what he has done was well pleasing to him. May I take it a step further? God is not ashamed of me either. Now think about this. I am imperfect. I am not like the Lord Jesus Christ in myself. I fall short, way short. But yet the Word of God teaches that we who are saved, We who've trusted Christ as our Savior and we are made righteous in the blood of Christ, listen to this, in Hebrews 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He's not ashamed of me. He claims me. That's my boy. That's my girl. He's not ashamed to say that he's our father. And along with that, just like he wasn't ashamed to claim Jesus Christ as his only begotten son, and he commended him for how he obeyed and how he was doing righteous and how he was well-pleasing, he commends us when we do right. The Bible says in John 14, 21, here's what Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know what this tells me? This tells me that when we do right, he commends that. One preacher said it this way, do you have any idea how many sons would give everything to hear just one time from their daddy, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. We should reinforce their identity, and we should earnestly seek out the opportunity to do so instead of seeking every opportunity for discipline. Now, we ought to discipline our children when it's willful rebellion. But there are a lot of folks today, typically men, typically, and that's not all the time, but typically a man, a father. Sometimes all he knows is discipline, 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 discipline. And it's always when every time he speaks to his kids, it's a condemning, it's a condemning. Don't do that. You shouldn't do that. Why are you going there? Why are you doing this? Boy, this speaks to me. This speaks to me. Because the fact of the matter is I want my children to turn out for God so bad that I have a tendency to point out all their faults. And they're sitting here tonight. And this is not a message for you. This is a message for me. I need this. But here's the point I'm trying to say. When's the last time that we set our kids down and we simply said, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And I want you to know it's an honor to be your daddy. I'm cut. And I want my kids to know who are sitting here tonight that I am proud of you. And I love you more than life itself. And I am honored to be your daddy. I should have told you that so many more times than I have. You know what speaks to my heart about the Heavenly Father? He looks down here tonight. He knows my shortcomings. I just had to use the word short there, didn't I? But anyway, he knows that I've fallen short so many times. And he knows that in myself I'm nothing. So many times he could look at me and say, don't do that. What are you thinking? Why? But instead, many times he looks at me and says, that's my boy. And he commends when I do what's right. Do your children know that you're proud of them? Do they know that you're not ashamed of them? Do you encourage your children by letting them know you're glad to be their parent and pleased with them when they do well? Fathers especially, again, can be very demanding and very hard on their children's disobedience and yet very lax in expressing their appreciation to their children for when they do well. See, get this, God not only condemns wrong. You do wrong, he condemns it. But when you do right, he commends it. Do you get that? He'll condemn you when you're wrong. That's not right. But when you do right, he says, God bless you. That makes me proud. What a father. It's amazing to think that God is not ashamed to be called my God. Does that mean anything to you tonight? That God, the all-holy God, the God that had no beginning, has no ending, the God who spoke the world into existence, God Almighty, the one that every knee will bow and every tongue confess, He looks at me tonight and says, hey, I want you to know, boy, I'm proud to be your daddy. Boy, I tell you, that speaks to me. And when you do right, it pleases me. I'm well pleased with you. Do my children know that I am not ashamed to be called their daddy? Well, I hope so. He claims and commends His children. Number 7, He provides for His children. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, now you're in Psalm 121, just stay with me now, it comes out in the next point, okay? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We as God's children have many needs to which we need provided. May I remind you that these needs include physical needs? There are physical needs that we need. These needs include emotional needs. Sometimes we just need to be comforted. Sometimes we just need to have our fears alleviated. Emotional needs. There are spiritual needs. But the bottom line is we are needy people. We are needy children. We cannot make it on our own, and our Heavenly Father provides all we need, get this now, and I've got this underlined and bolded, and desires to do so. He desires to do so. Matthew 7:11 says this, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Matthew 6:31-32. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Let me tell you one way the Lord spoke to my heart in this point that He provides for His children. He spoke to my heart as how He, as a Heavenly Father, not only meets our needs and provides for our needs, but He does it willingly. Willingly. One preacher said it this way, God's not trying to show us that He is God is trying to show us that He is willing, even eager, to provide the needs for which we ask. God's children know that He is there for them to meet their needs and help them through life, no matter what kind of need it is. If it's a physical need, we know we can go to Him and He's going to provide that. If it's a spiritual need, we know we can go to Him. He's going to provide that. If it's an emotional need, we know we can go to Him and He's going to provide that. He loves providing for His children. He loves doing it. He desires to do it. It's what He wants to do. He begs us. He says, listen, you as a father give good things to your children. How much more do I want to give to my kids who come to me? I'm telling you that God's children know whatever kind of it, not a want now, a need. I'm not saying you want it, go to Him, He's going to give it to you. No, I'm talking about a need. You have a need. No matter what kind of a need it is, go to your Heavenly Father. And He will take care of it. Willingly. Willingly. While we don't want to teach our grown children to look to us to meet their needs, mainly physical needs, we should be a parent like our Heavenly Father, who, as one preacher says, communicate to our children that we are there for them, that we love them, and that we're someone to whom they can come. They should not have to feel like they have to come and break down our resistance, but rather that they can come and get in on our willingness. I want to be a human father, this preacher speaking here, who has a spirit of generosity to my children, measured by my desire for their good, but never reluctant to help them in their time of need. That's the way our Father in heaven treats us. Now let me say this, there are some of our kids who think their wants are their needs, okay? I've just got to have that toy, Daddy. I mean, you said come to you with any kind, I'm coming to you, I need that toy. Listen to me, they probably don't need that toy, okay? I'm not talking about things like that. But I am talking about the things that matter. Do your children know that there's going to be food on the table because you don't take the money and spend it elsewhere? Amen. Do your kids know that when they're struggling emotionally, they're struggling with fear or worry or doubt, something emotional? Do they know they can come to you as mom and daddy and they'll leave better than they came? Do they know if they have a spiritual need? Hey, let me ask you a question, parents, especially if you have a teenager in your home, listen to me, or even an older person who's out of your home. They may even have kids themselves. Do your kids know that if God speaks to their heart and reveals to them that they're lost and you think they're saved but they're lost, do they feel comfortable to come to mom and daddy first with that spiritual need? Or are they afraid you're going to shy back and say, what? Let me tell you what's good about God. If it is a real need, I know I can go to Him. Amen or not tonight, friends. I know if it's a need in my life, if it's a physical need, if it's an emotional need, if it's a spiritual need, I know I can go to Him. He wants me to come to Him. He wants to provide that for me. And I want to ask myself, do my kids feel the same about me? So let me ask you a question as a parent. Do your children know that they can come to you about any need they have? And are you not only going to help them, are you willing to help them? Can I apply it this way? If God has to beg us to come to me, ask, please, bring it to me, I'm willing, then don't you think we ought to do the same with our kids and set them down and say, son, daughter, listen to me. We love you more than you'll ever know. And we want you to know that if you ever have a need, don't go to somebody else. Come to us. And if you come to us and it's a legitimate need, we will do everything we possibly can to meet that need in your life. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather your children come to you in time of need or somebody else? May I say it this way? I look at myself here a little bit. Now, don't take this wrong. I'm just showing you a little bit. I look at myself here a little bit like a parent. I love you all. And if you have a need, you're hurting, something like that, I want you to come to me. I desire to. It would hurt me if you went to another pastor because you were afraid of what I would think. Don't ever be afraid of what the pastor thinks. The pastor loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to help meet your needs. A mom and daddy's the same. Do you love your kids enough to provide for them? Amen? Then tell them. That's what God does. How much more do I want to meet your needs? So He provides for His children. Let me give you a verse here. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That is strong. If any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, God's word says you've denied the faith. And worse than an infidel. I didn't say it, so listen. I feel like ducking almost when I say that, you know what I mean? This means God takes this serious for His people to provide for their families. He provides for His children. Number eight, He protects His children. He not only provides for them, He protects them. Now, you're in Psalm 121. Let's read this together. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord, now get this, here's a key verse. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says this, the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Keep you from evil. Protect you from evil. Now, we know that God protects us from wickedness, right? You know that. As a father, he's protecting you against the wicked one. He's protecting you against the evil one. He's protecting you against ungodliness, correct? Yes. So we should too. Let me explain this. The way the Lord spoke to me is how the Lord will never allow anything to touch me as his child that's not for my good. It's not going to happen. He's not going to let anything touch me that's not going to ultimately make me ultimately more like God himself. Everything that he allows, follow me now, I'm going somewhere with this. Everything that the Father allows to come into his children's life is good for them. It's not bad. It's not going to make them like the devil. It's not going to make them less like him. It's going to make them more like him. In the same way, parents should imitate God by protecting their children from evil. Many times parents are concerned about protecting their children from so many things. For instance, we've done this at our house. Maybe not on all of them. Maybe we should, whatever the case may be. Maybe we have on all of them. Or maybe not. I don't know. Hallelujah. I'm just going in a merry-go-round here in my mind. For instance, you cover the electrical outlets. And if you really want to give them a jolt and they're not listening, just uncover them and say, stick your finger in. No, I'm just kidding with you there, okay? That's a joke, by the way, all right? You want to keep them away from contagious diseases, right? Sure. But the most dangerous things to protect our children from are spiritual. The devil's out to get our children. He wants them. He desires them. And if he gets his way, they will burn in hell forever. We must protect our children from his attacks. That's what our Father does for us. This means we understand his tools. What does he use? And we protect our children from his attacks. Now, there are many things he uses, but let me give you two specific things in your home. His tools include attacking your children's eyes and attacking your children's ears. My friends, listen to me. When you think about Lot, when he moved down to Sodom, remember? In the New Testament, I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll have to go back and check that. It's either 1 or 2 Peter. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says, in seeing and hearing, he vexed his soul from day to day. You know what got Lot in trouble? His eyes and his ears. You know what's going to get your children in trouble? Their eyes and their ears. Mark it down. You know what's going to get you in trouble? Your eyes and your ears. By the way, that's the closest two body parts to your mind. Because the battle that we all face, that's a raging battle every day of our life, is right here. Somebody say amen. And isn't it interesting that the two closest body parts are what the devil attacks first? He tries to get you to look at things you should never look at, try to get you to listen to things you should never listen to, because if he can, you're going to think things you shouldn't think, do things you shouldn't do, go places you shouldn't go, have a heart that you shouldn't have, say things you shouldn't say. You show me a young person, teenager, younger person, show them to me. It makes no difference who they are. And they're saying naughty things.
They're a rebel and they're speaking out against authority. They don't want anything to do with it. They're doing things with their hands that they think nobody knows about, but God does. They're going places with their feet. I know their problem. They are listening to things and looking at things that they should never be listening to and looking at. Amen. Amen. What's the point here? God will never put ungodly things before the eyes of his children. It never works. He never tempts his children to listen to things that they should never listen to. He protects them from them. And I, as a daddy, should protect my children from the onslaught of the devil. When a human parent imitates God, he or she will not allow the devil a foothold. He will not give place to the devil to ruin his children. We should be protecting our children from evil, shielding them from the devil. So let me ask you this. Are you monitoring what your children are listening to? Are you monitoring what they're watching? You say, you don't know my kid, they'll never do that. Excuse me, you don't know your kid, and they can do that. Amen. Your kid and my kid, are you listening to me? If left alone, will end up just like the devil himself. Not wanting anything that God has to offer because it is a supernatural life which is unnatural to the flesh. Here's what I'm saying to you. What kind of shows do you watch in your home? What kind of music do you listen to? Oh, it's not that bad. Okay, your music, it's either making you and your children more like Christ or it's making you less like Him. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground in that. Whatever that song is you listen to, if you listen to it, go ahead. It's either making you more like God or less like God. And if it's making you less like God, it's making your children less like God. By the way, a pastor who loves you is going to preach it to you straight, friends. And I'm giving it to you straight tonight. You need to watch what you allow them to watch, and you need to be careful what you allow them to listen to. Why? Because God the Father never allows anything to come into our lives that's going to attack us spiritually, make us less like Him. No, He keeps that stuff away from us. So we should keep that stuff away from our children. Then finally tonight, number 9. God leads His children. He leads His children. Isaiah 48 verse 17 says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. John 10, 2 through 4, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He leads them. He goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Psalm 48, verse 14. This is a verse that my wife and I adopted in Bible college as our life verse. Her and I are life verse. I've got a life verse, she does, but as a couple, we adopted this. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Here's the point here. The point is, our Heavenly Father is one who's not behind us saying, go, go, go. No. Our Heavenly Father is out in front of us saying, come, come, come. There's a big difference here. See, the point is, He's out in front of His children, leading them down the path of righteousness and holiness. God's children have one thing to do in this life. You know what it is? Keep your eyes on God. Look at Him. Follow Him. Go after Him. Now, friends, listen to me. Parents should imitate God as a father by leading their children in the way they should go. Parents should set an example, in other words, of holiness. Parents should be leading the way in front of their children down the path of holiness and righteousness. Our children should be able to just keep their eyes on mama and daddy. Do what mama does. Do what daddy does. And if they do, they end up like God. Here's the question. Are you truly leading your children on the path that God leads you? The fact is, get this now, the fact is parents are leading children. I lead my children whether I like it or not. The question is, where am I leading them? If they keep their eyes on their daddy and they end up just like their daddy, where is my path taking them? You know, parents are good at saying, you shouldn't do that. Do that instead. And they're not doing it themselves. I'll tell you one thing. I don't know why my kid doesn't read the Bible every day. My question to you is, are you reading the Bible every day? I don't know why they don't come to SOS. I don't know why they don't go soul winning. Are you going soul winning? You get what I'm saying here? God doesn't say, do that. God says, look at me, do what I'm doing. Come on. You see what I'm saying? Set the example. Be out in front. These thoughts about God as the Father, there's nine of them now. Now, listen to me. I hope this will send you on a journey to go further. You think God the Father does more things than nine things for us? You think maybe so? Sure. Go dig it out. Go find it out. You want me to, this series is going to last a whole lot longer than probably you want it to last, okay? I've sent you on a journey here. Go dig some more. Go dig it more and say, oh, Father, thank you for doing that. Help me to do that too. But these nine things, even though they're certainly not the only things the Heavenly Father does, they are nine things that every parent would do well to imitate, especially fathers. Let us imitate God as a parent by, I'm summarizing here, being available to them anytime. May they know they can come day, night, noon, makes no difference. Our door is open to them. May we imitate God by loving them all the same, impartially. May we imitate God by discipling, well, yes, discipling them, yes, but disciplining them. When they have willful rebellion just in your face, don't touch that. Has that ever happened to you? That's happening right now in our home. Judson, no, I'm just kidding with you. Joy's doing it. I remember earlier in life, Judson had a toy. He was about two or three or something like this. I've told this story before, and it had a long antenna on it. And my wife said, don't you touch that. And he thought he obeyed, but he grabbed the toy with the long antenna and touched it with the antenna. Some of you catch it by freight sometime tomorrow. In other words, he thought if he wasn't touching it with his hands, but he wanted to touch it so bad that he's going to touch it with that antenna anyway. Baby Joy go up to something, I'll say, now, Baby Joy, don't you touch it. And she'll just look at you like this. And she'll go. What happens? I take the electrical outlet thing off. And I say, no. That's a joke. I have to say that's a joke because this is being taped. You know what I mean? That's a joke, okay, friends? Let us discipline them. Let us forgive them when they do wrong, especially when they come and confess. May we never bring it back up to them again. Let us remember that they're flesh and there are mistakes that will happen that should not be punished, by the way. God has to give you discernment on that. May we not be ashamed of them. May we tell them so. May we commend them when they do right, not just condemn their wrong, but commend their right. May we provide for them willingly. I mean, to the point that where they know no matter what kind of need they have, they can come to mom and daddy, and mom and daddy are going to do everything they can to meet that need. May we protect them from the onslaught of the devil. Friends, if you don't think the devil's after your children, you've got your head stuck in the sand. Protect your kids from him. Learn his tools. Protect your kids from them. Finally tonight, let us lead them. Let us be out in front. Not behind trying to drive them. No. But out in front of them, tenderly leading them and guiding them and saying, watch daddy, follow me. Remember what the Apostle Paul said? He said, follow me as I follow Christ.
I don't know how God's using this, but this is the first specific sermon in this series on imitators of God. Imitating God, number one, as a parent. What a father he is. Amen tonight, friends. What a father. What a father. And may I be the father to my kids that my heavenly Father is to me. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I pray that you will help us to trust you, help us to believe you, help us to obey you. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts thoroughly. May the will of God be done in this service. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I start with the question I started with this morning, something similar to it at least. We're studying God as the Heavenly Father tonight. What a father he is to his children. If you're not saved tonight, you're missing out on this. You're missing out on it. We'd like to introduce you to him as a father. If you've never trusted Christ, come and we'll take a Bible and share with you the gospel. And tonight, God can become your father. Tonight, the application of this message is, what kind of a parent are you? If God has blessed you with children, what kind of a dad are you, sir? What kind of a mother are you? Even if your kids are grown and gone, these same things apply. And by the way, if your kids are older and you think to yourself, boy, I wish I heard this 15 years ago, don't live in the past. Start today. Maybe today say, Jody, God is speaking to me. You're talking about my Heavenly Father and how he tonight is not ashamed of me, and he commends me when I do right. Talk about my Heavenly Father who provides for every need that I have, and he invites me to come into his presence anytime. He wants to provide my needs. You talked about how he protects me from evil and he keeps the wicked one away from me. And you talked about how he leads me. He doesn't ask me to do anything that he hasn't set the example in himself. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me and using this message. And you are a parent. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? You say, well, God's using this. God bless you. That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. You know, it's a good thing when God speaks to your heart to make a trip to the altar. You don't have to, but I think it's a good thing for you to do it in recognition of the Lord. So momentarily, I'm going to ask you to come. It's between you and the Lord if you do. But I'm going to invite you to come. Have you not say, Jody, I'm not a parent, at least not yet. But if God ever blesses us with children, I sure want to be a parent like that. Or maybe you know you already are a parent. Maybe you're expecting. And you say, Jody, pray for me. God helping us, we want to be moms and dads like that. If that's you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm talking to you. Why don't you come in just a moment? Get on your knees and ask God to help you. Let's all stand together, shall we please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. It might be good for some mom and dad tonight to bring your kid to the altar. Just to say, hey, let's go pray together. As he sings, you come now. Would you do it?
Have thine
come
own
now.
Way,
don't be ashamed to grab your children. Bring them with you.
Have thine own way,
come talk to God about it. Come talk to the Lord.
Thou art the potter.
God, help me to imitate you as a daddy. Help me to imitate you as a mother. Help me to imitate you as a parent.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Sing that verse one more time.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through. Let me go ahead and dismiss Brother Bobby Whitson. If your wife's going with you, that's great. And everybody who's going to the businessmen, businesswomen's ministry, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you now, if you don't mind to do that. I hope you'll stay for this. If that's you and you're going to that meeting, you can be dismissed. You're going to the blue room, okay? Go right down to the blue room right now, if you don't mind. And that'll be good, okay? Appreciate you being here tonight. Be back on Wednesday night. The good Lord willing, we'll be maybe going back to one of our book studies. But next Sunday, don't forget it. The good Lord willing, we're changing topics now. We've studied him as a parent. Now, God willing, next week we're going to study him as a spouse, as a husband. I'm looking forward to that. I hope you'll pray for my study this week, that it'll be a blessing, okay? I know I call on him to pray a lot, but I love to hear the man pray. I want to take advantage of his prayers as long as God leaves him here. He may leave him here longer than he leaves me. I'm going to ask our preacher, if you wouldn't mind, to dismiss us tonight, sir, please. Thank you.
Father, we thank you tonight. We do have a heavenly Father. Love you.